It's spelled A-R-E-T-E. Now, the vast majority of people have probably never heard of the term. In Spanish, it means earring. However, in Greek, it means something quite different. Now, with its origins dating back to ancient Greece. Now, here to help us understand what A-R-E-T-E is about is a special guest with KGO Radio San Francisco morning anchor, Jennifer Jones.
When people first see the Greek term A-R-E-T-E spelled out, they usually pronounce it Areti. However, that is not how the word is pronounced. In addition, the term has a very special meaning that represents profound qualities in human beings. Now here to tell us how to pronounce A-R-E-T-E and explain what this term from antiquity is about is a leading expert on the subject, Stephen Miller, Professor Emeritus of Classical Archaeology at the University of California, Berkeley. For the past 35 years, Professor Miller has directed the excavations of ancient Nemea, an athletic sanctuary where games like those at Olympia were conducted. Professor Miller's discoveries at Nemea include the stadium where the games took place, the first known locker room from ancient Greece, and the tunnel through which the athletes passed from locker room to stadium. He's the author of several books, including The Ancient Greek Athletics and A-R-E-T-E, Greek Sports from Ancient Sources. On June 21st of this year, Professor Miller will lead the fourth modern revival of the Nemea Games on the ancient track that he discovered. Professor Miller, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
First of all, can you tell me how to pronounce A-R-E-T-E?
The way most of us who work in Greece would pronounce it is Arete, and that probably is right, although we're not always sure because we don't have any ancient Greeks to pronounce it for us.
Now, what is
Arete?
Arete. So what does arete mean?
It's a hard word to translate. Usually it's translated by the terms virtue or excellence, although those are not all-encompassing of its meanings, and the meaning changes from context to context. But if we want a single word translation, excellence is probably as close as we can get.
So how do you tell if someone has this excellence?
It's what they show. The potential for arete exists in everybody, but you only show it by your actions, by your what you accomplish, by your achievements. You achieve arete. It is an active word. That is to say, as our word excellence derives from the word excel, to go beyond. And frequently people like to use the old Marine slogan that we saw on television, be all that you can be. That's what you're trying to do, is to achieve the highest level that you're capable of achieving by pushing yourself.
So where did this come from? What's the history behind it?
Well, we first see the word arete in the Iliad, the very fountain of Western literature, where it is clearly a concept that's very important to the heroes of the Iliad. They want to show their arete. They want to push themselves to excellence. And if you disparage my efforts, then you disparage my arete, and it's an insult.
Oh, I see. Now, does this always have to do with, say, I know a lot of our interviews have been about sports. Does this always have to deal with an athlete or a fighter, or can this be in the intellectual world or even just in your everyday life?
It can be in any walk of life. Athletics are very closely associated with it because athletics force you to push yourself to the limit. But it's not exclusively for athletics. It's in any walk of life. We have ancient records where school teachers have shown their arete by producing good results in their students. There's a story about a mule that worked on the construction of the Parthenon that did exceptionally hard work, and he was honored, this mule, for his arete. So it's any physical push that shoves you to your limit.
How do you achieve that, though? Is there something that is triggered in people that gets them to try and achieve their arete? And do they even really know that they are going the distance when they're doing this?
Well, I don't know if they know they're going the distance, but first of all, competition triggers it, and that's clearly why athletics is so much involved with the concept of arete, is because of the sense of competition. But in another sense, the competition within yourself to push yourself, it can be self-motivation too. Does that mean that you have arete intrinsically in you? Yes, at one level, but you have to push yourself to show it, to achieve it, to really have displayed arete.
Is there an opposite to this? Is there a failure then in a way?
Well, I never really thought of that, the negative of arete. Certainly there were plenty of people in antiquity who were thought not to have arete. I don't remember a term that was particularly applied to them. Lazy, slob, low life.
All right. Well, so oftentimes we kind of talk about the whole mind, body, spirit, all as one. And could you at any time have arete of the mind without having arete of the body
or
the spirit?
Oh, yes.
And can they all work together if, say, in one area you're excelling and the others maybe you're not?
Well, the idea is that you should, of course, develop all of your capabilities, intellectual, physical, spiritual. And, of course, you should show arete in all of those areas. It's quite possible that you show arete in one of those areas at a particular point in time and another area at another point in time. Rarely, but occasionally, there will be an opportunity for you to show arete in all of those areas all at the same time.
And so that would, I would think, then when you have someone who is, say, a super athlete or they're a super educator or they're whatever they happen. So if someone is a super athlete or if they're super whatever they happen to be, then I would think, though, that probably all three of their areas have to be pretty balanced, that they have to be achieving arete in almost all three of those.
Yes, if they're going to be well regarded by their contemporaries and by posterity. There are many examples of athletes, to use that criterion, that area, where the athlete was a very good athlete, was super, but he was not imbued with arete otherwise, because he was tended to be a jerk. He pushed people around. He was bold, arrogant, nasty. There was a story told about the famous Milo of Croton, a wrestler from the town of Croton in southern Italy, who had won Olympic game after Olympic game after game, Olympic game in wrestling. He was so proud of his strength, he would show off. He would carry a bull around the sacred site of Olympia. He would eat the whole bull at one sitting. He would drink 20 quarts of wine to put it down. He would put a ribbon around his head and force the veins to stand out and snap the ribbon. He would stand with his hand extended out and defy any, his fingers pushed out and defy anybody to pull down his little finger, and nobody could because he was so strong. But in his later life, he was walking down a country road near his hometown of Croton. He saw a tree that a farmer was trying to split, that had put stones in between the two halves of the tree. He was trying to break it apart. And so Milo said, well, I can do that. I'll show him. Put his hands in, pulled the two halves of the tree trunk apart. The stones fell out, snapped back in, grabbed his hands, and he couldn't get out. And that night, the wolves came and ate him. There was no arete in Milo at the end.
Oh, that is interesting. If there's a situation, say, like that, where obviously this man's strength was far ahead of maybe his smarts in this particular case, can the fact that maybe one part of your life is going really well and you are achieving arete and saying that in the physical sense, then that it would be inspirational to you to try and maybe then find the excellence in the other areas?
Yes, and the one hand washes the other. It works together. There's no question about that. But and that is what the ancients, Plato, for example, in particular, preaches. And I think the word preach is right. He preaches against overdeveloping any one part to the detriment of another part of you as a complete human individual. He is very much an advocate of the total physical, spiritual, intellectual development. He even goes so far as to condemn the tendency in the Greek society of his time to make everybody be right-handed. Why is the right hand better than the left? Why shouldn't we learn how to throw a javelin with our left hand as well as with our right hand?
Yeah. Wow, now I want to achieve arete with my left hand suddenly. So let's talk about ancient Greece. The concept of arete, or the term, is it still used and has it changed over the centuries?
One of my best friend's daughter-in-law is named arete.
Oh, wow.
So yes, it's very much still around. Not maybe in the sense that we think of it in ancient times, but it is still there as a concept, and in this one young lady, a physical embodiment.
Why do you think that here in the States we haven't heard more about this, or why isn't it a term that is more commonly used?
Well, it's coming. I mean, our knowledge of ancient Greece tends to be held by a smallish group of academics, and only gradually does that knowledge spread out. Truth be told, the study of ancient Greek is not at the top priority of our public schools nowadays, so that there's a natural sort of barrier there, whereas an earlier generation probably heard the word more frequently, but not in a popular sense. On the other hand, before I came in today, I went and Googled arete, and there were over 300,000 entries for arete, so it's not completely unknown.
What about with society nowadays, do you think that people really strive to achieve arete, or are we in a world where there are so many different excuses that we can use and so many other ways to pass the buck that we don't have to maybe find that excellence in ourselves anymore?
Well, I think that that some people do find it. I think that there are always going to be some people who do push themselves. But you're right, I think, that it's easier not to push yourself now, and it's easier to be specialized, to do just one thing with your life that doesn't prohibit you, but inhibits you from achieving a better rounded personality, a better rounded human being. I have to say that I increasingly am sitting at the desk and not getting out and exercising as much as I should.
Well, are there issues like, say, with people who want to achieve their excellence, but say you look at somebody, you're a decent basketball player, but then you look at somebody like Michael Jordan, and you want to push yourself because you want to become the next Michael Jordan. Or say you have some supermodel out there, and she's so beautiful, so you want to push yourself to become or have the same body as that particular person. Can arete ever be negative?
Sure. If it becomes the only thing you can do, if the only thing you can do is play basketball because you want to become the next Michael Jordan and you don't succeed in becoming the next Michael Jordan, that can be devastating. But if the other parts of your life are also in balance, if you are striving to be the best this and the best that, the best scholar, the best secretary, the best street cleaner, whatever it might be at the same time, then there are other places where it can balance out. Let me give you an example from antiquity where it seems to have worked out pretty well. We know that Plato, in his teens, was a wrestler, and he was an ambitious wrestler. He competed, we know for certain, at Ismia, at one of the game sites, and in some sources he is supposed to have won there. Another source says he won at Nemea in wrestling, and one source even says he won at Olympia. And it's not impossible that he did. But since only one source mentions it, and since although Plato talks about athletics all the time in his work, he never brags on himself. Maybe he wouldn't anyway. But it looks very much as though he competed, but never achieved that high level of athletic success that is involved with an Olympic victory. Was Plato a failure?
Of course not.
Yes.
But then you tell that story right there, and you just mentioned a little bit ago that obviously schools aren't teaching maybe Greek history as much as they used to. I don't recall getting all that much when it came to, say, Plato or even learning about any of these things. How do we bring that back into the curriculum in schools? How do we get kids, because stories like that you just tell, or stories about the wrestler that you just told, those are so inspirational and very common sense. And if kids heard that kind of thing, maybe that could help them in their everyday lives.
Well, you're inviting me to get on my soapbox.
I invite you. Jump up.
It seems to me that our educational system has become so specialized that we are no longer educating our youth. We're training them. We're training them very well to be computer specialists, engineers, doctors, lawyers, whatever they might be, but we're not educating them so that there are these gaps in their background. And this works to the detriment of our society as a whole. Our society, any human society, needs to work on the basis of common knowledge, common experience. That's why athletics is so important in our society, is because it's one thing that we can share in common. I doubt that very much that anybody listening to us doesn't know who Michael Jordan is, for example. But he probably doesn't know who Professor von Monograph is, who writes esoteric little stories. Not that they should have to learn that, but we need a broader base of common knowledge grounded in our history, our common history as Americans, and our common history as human beings, in order for us to go forward in our society as a group, as a whole. And it's not until those values are recognized as having a real value to our society that cannot be measured in salary, cannot be measured in perks. Until we reach that level, we're going to have this problem.
You know, in my experience as a news anchor, you have to know 90% of everything.
Yes.
I admit I probably know 70, but I don't know 100. And the thing, though, that I dreaded when I went to college was getting my AA and my general ed, because I thought, oh gosh, I'm going to have to take all these different courses on things I don't really care to learn. However, you find out later in life, to be well-rounded,
yes.
It is so incredibly important.
Yes.
And when
yes.
they say to you, you'll need this later, and you as a student are thinking, no, I won't. You really do, and
yeah.
it's exactly what you're talking about here.
Well, there are two aspects to it that we can handle. One is in our curriculum, that we say, look, you may not think it's important. We are older. We know a little bit more. We're going to ask you to please take these courses, and if you don't, you're going to be in trouble. The second thing is to try to get our teachers to be inspirational, to get our teachers to interest the students so the student wants to go to that class, that obscure thing on Greek athletics. He says, wow, I'm looking forward to getting up this morning and going to that class.
Well, and when you tell a story like you did about the wrestler, suddenly then you're involving the athletes who may be in your classroom. They're going to get a little bit excited about that.
And sometimes
story.
They even stay awake.
Right. Which I bet is challenge enough for you.
Sometimes.
What about the combination of not only the teachers who are in the classroom, but the teachers who are in the gymnasiums, and kind of combining them? Or if you are the PE teacher and you knew those particular stories that you just told,
yeah.
I would think that you would be bringing then not only just a body of physical education into that classroom or that gymnasium, but you would be bringing then, you would be giving them a little bit of history as well.
Well, you're touching on, again, I think, the problems of specialization. When you are a teacher of only these things. I was very fortunate when I was a teenager. I went to a small rural high school in Indiana where my gym teacher was also my biology teacher.
Right. And you got that combination.
Exactly.
I went to I had one teacher. I only had 240 kids in my entire school, kindergarten through eighth grade.
Right.
One teacher taught everything.
Mm-hmm.
But what was really beautiful about that is he would incorporate the different lessons into each other. It was like a constant segue.
And you would see the relevance.
Yes, you did. And you understood how history then might even affect whatever it happened to be, your math, or it could
sure.
be your
sure.
geography. And it just made so much more sense.
Yeah.
And this specialization and it is, you're right in that it is really sort of, I would think it's just a negative effect on kids. And you're snapped from classroom to classroom.
Yeah, yeah.
Boom, shut your math book. Now we're going to talk about history. Boom, shut your history book. Now you're going to go play basketball for the
day. Yeah, yeah. And it fits, I'm sorry to say, I think also into our programming on popular television and what have you, where you do this. You see this show for 46 minutes or whatever it
sure.
is, and then you stop and you see another show for 46 minutes, and there's no necessary connection between those. You're taken from a situation comedy to a cowboy to a police thing, and the interconnections that could exist between them are never drawn.
How do we get this back? How do we... I wanted to ask you three or four things. First of all, how do we get, let's just say for in this situation, how do we get Greek history back into the schools? What can we do? And they're going to scream budget cuts, and we don't have time. We can't bring in the teachers. So what do we do?
No, you just said it, budget. You need money. You can't solve these things by just throwing money at them, but you have to have enough money so that you can fund all the different programs that need to be funded and the teachers that need to be funded. There are many, many teachers who do it because of the love of what they're doing, thank God. But I think that there are some other potentially very good teachers who, if they knew that they could support their families, might go into the area of teaching. You need to reduce class size. I mean, this has been said 100,000 times probably on your radio show, but you do need to reduce class size. Your experience, my experience as young people growing up, where you had the individual attention mm-hmm. of the teacher. When I'm teaching, before I retired from the University of California, even in my largest classes, which would be 170, 200 students, I made it a point to know every student's name. So when I saw them on the street, I'd say, hi, Jennifer, how are you today? How's your mom?
Right.
And when they know you're watching them, they perform better.
Well, you're going to pay attention a lot more.
Yeah, right.
So, and then just what about for any teacher, student, athlete, person who is listening to this and now knows what arete is and how to achieve arete? What can we do in our everyday lives to sort of combine that mind, body, spirit and try and achieve excellence to our best of our ability?
I'm not sure of this, but I think that if we develop our curiosity, if we let our curiosity go and we work to satisfy our curiosity, you see something, you hear something, you want to know, what does that mean? Don't rest until you have found out what it means. I think that that is a first step, just to satisfy your curiosity. But you have to be curious. And how do you stimulate curiosity? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, there are different, obviously, tricks that you can do by making things attractive, telling stories about guys getting eaten by wolves, that sort of thing. I don't know of a single pill that you take that makes you curious. But I think we all have some curiosity in us, and what we have to do is to develop that and understand that that's a part of our personality as well.
When I would think, just don't accept that it is what it is.
Oh, no, never, never, never.
Find out why.
Yeah, exactly. There are always questions to be asked, and there are always answers that people haven't thought of before to questions that have been asked before.
All right. Professor Miller, thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure.
Okay, now we know what arete means and where it came from. Now, it has quite a storied history. Joel, why did you choose this term to represent what the arete school is about?
Well, you know, Martin, in education today, we basically look at the learner from the neck up, you know, what's in the kid's head. And if you really look at the ancient Greeks, or what current research is showing today, is you have to educate the whole child. So the term arete, as we heard from Professor Miller, basically means virtue and excellence. So we're as concerned about the character of our kids as we are what they're learning and how they're learning it. So arete obviously harkens back to the ancient Greeks. It was a part of the athletic ideal in ancient Greece, and it represents the physical, mental, and spiritual or attitude elements of the whole person. And so we think this is probably the best term to name a school, because, again, it's the whole child that we're interested in educating, and that's what the term arete represents.
And, you know, this whole concept of not just disassociating the head, but bringing the whole body in. I mean, it sounds very Berkeley, you know, the holistic approach. And how does it work, and how can people help?
Right. Well, it's really capitalizing on all the research that's being done now that validates what the ancient Greeks knew from, you know, antiquity. And there is research that shows the more physically active you are, the more brain cells that you grow and you fortify. And everybody knows then you get more oxygen to the brain. And if you also study how learning takes place with kids, you have to understand that it's what they're interested in that they'll gravitate to, and then you can't tear them away from whatever they're doing. Yeah. So all this is built into the learning process of the arete school. And so we hope people will want to support this kind of effort. Just below the screen here, you can click on Donate and make a contribution to the American Sports Institute in support of the arete school.